Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So if you get in your car, you're driving home and it's, I'll give you a random date, August 24th, and your phone rings, it's your wife, hey, how'd it go today? I can't hold this kid off. He's phenomenal. He's everything I thought he was going to be and more. Will you start him?
I love the question, but then she's got to say, how's Andy looking, right? How is Andy looking with that? You know, she's going to say the same thing. Would you start him? So that's a big what-if proposition. But we all hope, trust me, that all three of these guys are rocking and rolling and they look awesome, because if they're all looking great, then that makes it for us, that makes the Bears better. So we're gonna see how that thing goes, and there's so much to go to get to that point. But I do appreciate the question.
That was Matt Nagy live on this show yesterday. He also spelled out when my esteemed partner asked, what do you have to see from Justin Fields? And he ran through a checklist of like 12 things. And it was awesome.
Insane.
You will hear that entire Matt Nagy interview coming up at 9 a.m. if you missed it. Really, really good stuff. He didn't hold back. He was willing to be engaging and funny, all of it. So it was really good. Albert Breer is our guy from Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com. He's been on NFL Network, and he is as dialed in as they come and is a great friend and great part of our show every Tuesday at 8 a.m. So, Albert, we had Matt on yesterday, and you heard that where I said to him, you know, what if that kid is truly what you think he is, and it's August, are you going to play him? He doesn't want to go down that road right now. But do you see how they hold this kid off?
I mean, like, history tells us it's not going to happen, right? Like, I mean, I just being honest about it, like, if you want to look and just dig through the last, and really the change happened with Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco in 2008. But if you want to go back and you want to look at the last 13 draft cycles, you know, really there are only two cases of true redshirts. And in both cases, it was because the teams were contending. And Matt Nagy happened to be on the staff for one of those teams, you know. But outside of that, I think it's something like 39 quarterbacks have been drafted in the first round, you know, since 2008. And 37 of them have wound up being their team's starting quarterback before the end of the year. So, you know, I think history tells us that the Bears are eventually going to find their way to Justin Fields. But I wouldn't discount what Matt's saying there either, which is, the ideal situation for them is everyone looks great, they're contending, Andy Dalton looks awesome as the starter, and there's no reason to make a change. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that's not what Bears fans want to see, because they're so excited about seeing Justin Fields in the game. But, you know, I can certainly see why Matt looks at it and says, my ideal situation is exactly what happened in Kansas City, in 2017, where we won the division. Alex Smith played great. Patrick Mahomes got a chance to learn quietly, and we really had the thing rolling going into 2018.
You know, growing up, Albert, we always saw, you know, a quality number one quarterback, and the number two quarterback on the bench wasn't bad. And so we see this with the Bears, where Nick Foles is number two, and Andy Dalton for right now is number one. But the same thing with the Patriots. I thought it was kind of a head-scratcher that the Patriots signed Brian Hoyer, along with already having Mac Jones, Cam Newton, and Jarrett Stidham on the roster. I wonder why so much, I guess, quality, why so many quarterbacks at one time?
Yeah, I think there are, you know, two ways you can look at this. They just came off their rookie minicamp, which was closed to the media, right? So you could either look at it and say, maybe Bill Belichick saying, uh-oh, Mac doesn't look ready, we need to have another veteran behind Cam Newton. Or you could say, maybe Bill said, Mac looks awesome, and we're not going to have Cam here as our backup if Mac wins the job, so let's have a veteran in-house in case, you know, we wind up having to cut Cam Newton. So you can look at it either way. You know what I'm saying, Hoodie? It's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, it's kind of like a, it's like a Rorschach test, you know. But I do think that there's some value in having a guy there in Brian Hoyer who has, I mean, really going back to 2009. So you're talking about off and on 12 years of background in the system there to sort of help shepherd Mac Jones along and help teach Mac Jones the system. And, you know, to me, like, I don't think it can hurt to have good veteran voices in that room when you've got a rookie that you've invested in. And by the way, I think it's good that the Bears have that. You know, with Nick Foles, you know, one thing you hear about, one thing that's like universal with Nick Foles is every locker room he's ever been in loves him. And, you know, no matter what role you put him in, whether he's a starter, he's the backup, like, he's going to be good for your team. And so, you know, I think Brian Hoyer is sort of the same way and seen the same way for New England, where, you know, where Nick Foles can definitely be a resource for Justin Fields. Even if you get to August and you decide you're going to move him off the roster, like, for the next few months, at the very least, he can be a resource to Justin Fields. I think in the same sort of way, Brian Hoyer can be a resource to Mac Jones.
And it's funny because you mentioned how great a guy Nick Foles is. He was the first player to reach out to Justin Fields the night he was drafted. Called him, Welcome to Chicago, and let me know how I can be of help to you. So, yeah.
I mean, like, all you got to know about Nick Foles, now, you guys know, like, Carson Wentz, like, didn't get along with everybody in that locker room in Philly. Carson Wentz loves him. And Carson Wentz probably had every reason to resent Nick Foles, right? Like, mm-hmm. Carson Wentz had every reason to be looking over his shoulder at him. There was every reason for that relationship to be awkward and weird. And if you ask Carson Wentz about Nick Foles, you get nothing but glowing things and coming back. And so, I mean, I think Nick Foles is one of these guys where, and look, it's not just quarterbacks. I mean, this exists at other positions too, where, you know, if you've got a young guy in the room that you've invested in, you know, Nick Foles is the sort of person that you want around him.
Albert, what is the latest on Deshaun Watson? We're reading reports, but what have you heard about Deshaun Watson and the likelihood that he will play in 2021?
You know, I really, like, sort of hesitate to say anything about that. It's just, I mean, like, it's one of those things where, you know, like, the lawyers have had their public spats, and it was quiet for a while, which made you think, like, okay, like, maybe they're coming closer to a settlement, and then, you know, you had dueling statements last week, you know, kind of a crap throwing contest, I guess is what you would call it. I know I can't curse here on the air, but I think it's sort of right now there's a realization on both sides that if they are going to go through the legal process, that's going to take a while. And so I think, you know, it's going to be on both sides to determine whether or not they want to go through that process, or if reaching some sort of settlement is going to wind up being the best conclusion for everybody. And even when they get past that process, and, you know, again, like, a settlement would, you know, expedite finding some level of closure on the legal process. And I don't want to trivialize any of this, but then you'd have, you know, what's the league going to do? And so, I do think that there's a path here where, all right, like, you know, over the next couple of months, a settlement is reached, you know, before training camp that happens. And then, you know, the league makes a decision, because the league has been running a sort of parallel investigation to all of this. And then, you know, maybe you're at a point where where the Texans feel like, okay, we can actually go and get something good for him. I think the Texans are of a mind right now to trade him. I'm not sure that it'll happen until they feel like they can get what they think is fair value for him. And I think right now what you'd be looking at for him is something that's less than that. And so I think to for them to be able to get fair value for him, I think you're going to have some level of closure on the whole thing.
Cap, you want that scrutiny on your football team?
No.
You trade for him?
No.
Yeah,
owner of, pick a team. Bears already got Justin Fields. Pick any team that would acquire him.
I mean, I think you have to look at, like, all right, so I think if you want to play that game, I think you have to look at the Broncos and Panthers passing on Fields, right? Because both those teams really, really like Justin Fields. And so those teams left their options open. Say what you want about Drew Lock and Sam Darnold. Like, if they really want Deshaun Watson, Drew Lock and Sam Darnold aren't stopping them from going and getting him, right? So there are two teams for you. And then Miami, I think, is the other one that's sort of lurking out there and has been lurking out there throughout this whole thing. And so, you know, a huge part of this too, guys, and I think you guys are aware of this, is going to have to be ownership. You know, ownership's going to have to sign off on bringing, like, what could be that story into your organization at where, whatever juncture it's at, whenever a trade happens. Like, you're bringing that story into your organization, and it's not involving a guy down the line in the roster. It's involving a guy who's going to be the face of your franchise.
So let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, because, you know, there's different power rankings out now that the draft is over and rookie minicamps are commencing, or in some cases, like here, over. What is the latest with this guy? Because I will be shocked if he comes out and goes, yeah, all right, all forgotten, I'm playing. I would be surprised.
Yeah, I don't think it's like, I don't think the mini camp in June, you know, it is a big deal because it's mandatory, right? So, like, the fact that it's, you know, like, the fact that that's like a checkpoint, like, yeah, I acknowledge that. But I think Aaron Rodgers is probably willing to swallow the $90,000 in fines to make his point on this one. You know, really where the rubber meets the road is going to be the start of training camp. And that's when they can start fining him $50,000 per day. You know, that's when it becomes less likely that another team's going to, you know, like flip everything upside down to trade for him. Not saying it won't happen because he's such a great player. You know, somebody would make an offer. But I just think that that's really the critical point there at the end of July. And it becomes daily story then, of course. You know, you'd have helicopter coverage, you know, Packers practice. So now at that point, it starts to affect their team, like the team they're going into the season with. You know, and so, you know, I think that that's probably what we're looking at right now is over the next 2 months, there's got to be some sort of movement. And I think what's problematic about the whole thing, it's not like the Packers' commitment to go and give him a contract. I think the Packers are willing to do that. The Packers are willing to make a commitment contractually that'll tell him you're going to be our quarterback for the next 2 or 3 years. I think they're willing to do that. I think more so it's going to be how are you going to manage the franchise over the next 2 or 3 years, and is it going to be built around me with the sense of urgency that they built within Tampa so that I can maximize what I've got left in my playing career. And what's so hard about that, guys, and I think I talked to you about like the clause in his contract that they haven't moved on. And really, like, this goes back to the Jordan Love thing and how you're using your capital. One of the things that's hard is at this point, like, if you're going to say that, it's got to be a promise for 2022, right? Because the ship's already sailed on the 2021 offseason. So if you're telling Aaron, we're going to operate the way that the Buccaneers operate, well, you're going to have to tell him. You're going to say, well, hey, sit tight. You know, for right now, like, we're going to, you know, go forward with the team we have. But we promise you next year, we're going to start acting with the sort of urgency that Tampa's acted with around Tom Brady. I think that's sort of the sort of thing it's going to have to take. And then maybe, like, an opportunity like a Julio Jones comes along where you can actually show him something. But I think, you know, I think it would probably have to be something where they're making promises to him about the way that they're going to operate, which would be a different way of operating than the way they've operated really for the last 30 years, going back to the way Ron Wolf built around Brett Favre.
Okay, what is in your phone, Albert? Give us something that everyone else needs to know. Tell us before you tell Colin Cowherd or, you know, PFT.
Yeah, sure. I think it's going to be interesting seeing what happens here with phase two and phase three of the offseason program. And, you know, there are a bunch of teams where agreements have been reached on between coaches and players on, you know, scaled back practices. Like, for instance, like the Colts have cut their offseason program down to 2 weeks. And they're going to, like, basically let all the players go for the summer before Memorial Day. The Chargers, the Bengals, the Rams, they're all scaling back their 11-on-11 work to try to protect their guys. And so, you know, their guys don't feel fresh going into training camp. And then there are other teams that have just sort of gone forward with the status quo And a lot of those teams have actually had pretty good attendance. So those are teams like the Jets. The Bears are one of those teams where teams have just sort of gone forward and said, okay, like we're going to try and run a normal off-season program here, and we'll see who shows up. So I think that's going to be an interesting subplot over the next 4 or 5 weeks. And I think it's even going to be an interesting thing to watch going into the first month of the season, seeing how teams' rookies perform, whether or not you're going to be able to draw it back to how the coaches and the players handled May and June. So I think we're going to get a real referendum here soon on the importance of this time of year in the NFL.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you next week, and there's always something happening in the NFL.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
You too. See you, buddy.
That is our guy, Albert Breer, from Monday Morning Quarterback and SportsIllustrated.com, SI.com. Bulls have officially gone fishing. Up next, we put a bow on the season, discuss the future of the franchise. Next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So the Bulls season has ended. They, for whatever reason, won 5 meaningless games down the stretch. Meaningless because their odds at keeping their pick went from 30% down to 20.7.
Right.
So it is what it is. The Bears have done the same thing. Now it worked out. They were able to trade up, go get the quarterback they wanted. The Bulls are hoping they can keep their pick. But whether they do or they don't, they still need an infusion of talent. Where is this team for you?
Well, at some point it became unwatchable because you kind of knew the result, right? You see the Bulls at halftime down 10, down 12, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you saw them come back in the game, but you just know they didn't have enough closers to be able to win those games against good teams, Cap. That's the whole thing. They were one of the worst teams in the NBA against teams over 500 as far as the win-loss total. Mm-hmm. And you just know you just don't have enough down the stretch to beat good teams. Single digits. They're down there with Sacramento and some of the dregs of the league when it comes to trying to win games against teams over 500. So this is no shot at Zach LaVine. This is no shot at Vucevic. But there needs to be in this league, you need to be able to have 3 guys at least you could depend on. At least. The Bulls have 2. You're waiting on Patrick Williams, and thank God he's going to go to summer league.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool moment that Patrick Williams said, yeah, I'm going to summer league. I got a lot to work on. This is a huge summer for me. But there are a lot of guys. I ain't going to F up my summer.
That's Pippen, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not going out. I want to be able to relax. I just played, 70-some games. I'm tired. No. He said, this is a huge summer of development for me.
Because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to f*** my summer up.
You get out of here, Scotty. Selfish. Anyway, so.
I love that guy.
Wayne Larrabee here. Scotty, what do you think? I'm not going to F up my thumb. Okay, that's
the
great.
Best.
So after LaVine and Vucevic, Cap, I don't expect Markkanen to be here next season. So how do you replace that production? Now, there was some signs from Markkanen late in the season.
He had his best shooting season. Rebounding numbers are down.
You think for a big, that would be better, right? I said at the time of the draft, as I was sitting there at the Berto Center, mm-hmm. when I was there at the draft, I said, when they made the selection, I go, I'm not even sure that Markkanen is even the top 3 player on his own Arizona team. Do you recall this? Like there was promise with Markkanen, but I thought it was a Trubisky-like project.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that he was okay, mm-hmm. but not stellar at Arizona. I end up being right because of the injuries. And because of the injuries, Cap, like that, and then him being able to give you minutes and give you some production, that's great. But you have to cut your losses. I think that you got to replace that production with someone, again, with that same size as a 4, can play 3 or 4 position and give you double digits offensively.
You do not have a ton of salary cap space. I sent you guys the link. Kevin Anderson over at NBC Sports Chicago has a running thread on his Twitter of where the Bulls are with the cap and plays and moves they could make to get themselves some more space. But let me ask you a question. If you're a free agent, let's take Lonzo Ball.
Sure.
The Knicks want you, allegedly. The Bulls want you, allegedly. Which destination is more appealing today?
Well, it'd be the Knicks.
No question about it.
Again, this is no shot at Billy Donovan because I think he's a stellar coach.
Yes.
I mean, Wikipedia, if you haven't seen Billy Donovan, you know he's a terrific coach. It's just that where the team is right now. So can you tell me as a free agent that LaVine's going to be here for the long haul? Because I know that he's going to be the leader if he is, right, offensively. Mm-hmm. Vucevic is a walking 2010. And then what? Patrick Williams is developing.
I'm hoping, and I believe he's going to be a really good player.
How about this?
He's what, 19?
How about this about Coby White? You've been against him because you feel like he should be more of a lead guard and be able to grow in the position. Mm-hmm. You would think as Billy Donovan as a head coach, he would have been able to get him to be better. Now, you talk about someone that developed the last 20 games. Coby White's been knocking it down.
He's been much better.
Especially with LaVine being out because of the COVID restrictions. But I think you're right in this regard. If he's going to be your sixth man, that's not so bad. If he's going to be your sixth man, if he grows into Lou Williams, I'll take it.
No question. Now, Jamal Crawford.
But just understand that like he's not going to be a guy in meaningful minutes, especially to start, to be a difference maker for your team. He's just going to be like a, you know, like a Vinnie Johnson type, apparently.
Yeah, he's not your answer at point guard.
But don't throw him away.
No, agreed. Agreed.
But you still have to need, you still need a point guard. If Kobe's part of your mix, if he's getting starter minutes, Cap, if he comes off the bench and still gives you 30 minutes, if he's knocking down four or five threes, I'm good with that. That's what he can, because he can't guard. And he can't distribute as a point guard. He's kind of a two in a one's body.
So Thaddeus Young spoke to the media, who I'm a big fan of, that guy.
Good guy.
He said when he gets that killer mindset in him, it's going to be a lot of trouble for a lot of people. Thad Young and what Patrick Williams could be. But he also went on to say, how hard do you want it? How much do you want that?
Right.
Patrick Williams apparently wants it a lot. And when you look at the Knicks, they're not blessed with an incredible roster. They outwork everybody. How about this stat? The New York Knicks are one of two teams in NBA history to finish the season first in opponents' points per game, opponents' field goal percentage, opponent three-point field goal percentage. The only other team to do that, the New York Knicks in 92-93. Well, that is playing for your coach.
Well, it's not a surprise that the Knicks bring the hard hat and the lunch pail every night.
Mm-hmm.
It's Thibodeau. Of course they will. What I'm surprised at is that Julius Randle could be an MVP candidate because you saw his career and you're like, yeah, decent player. He's a go-to guy. He's our number one.
Beast.
That's not what I saw coming
out
of college.
D-Rose also looks really good.
Oh, it's a pleasure to watch.
It is. It's a pleasure to watch.
It's a pleasure to watch. But you see the defensive categories, Cap, and see the Knicks number one in that. That's not a surprise. But here's where the rubber meets the road when it comes to the Bulls. I didn't think they would be a playoff team. I know some around here thought that at least they can get in the play-in game. Cap, they just need to be able to have a lead guard and more production, especially defensively. You can't tell me that the Bulls, if they're healthy, are not better than Indiana or Charlotte. They're going to battle tonight. Indiana or Charlotte? Indiana's got an internal problem with coaching. They're going to change that coach out quickly. Charlotte is good because Young Ball is a really good player for them. But the Bulls with good health are better than Indiana and the Hornets, and the Bulls can't get in the play-in game. That's troublesome. You're not a top 10 team in the East. So that's a problem. So I'd like to remind everybody that on the Cap and J Hood podcast page, I talked to Chris Bleck.
There you go.
We did it Under the Hood basketball podcast.
He is a very good source of basketball information.
He pours through the numbers.
He does.
So he knows that. So he and I did a podcast last night. It's on the Cap and J Hood podcast feed. After hour three of this show, you'll be able to hear our thoughts about the MVP, what's going on with the playoffs, the play-in games. And I take Washington, by the way. I like the road games, the road teams today.
Nice.
I like both. Charlotte is at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, right?
Okay.
Russell Westbrook in Washington at Boston. Boston is one of the more disappointing teams in the league.
Crazy.
So I'm going Both road teams win today. That's kind of where I'm leaning.
All right. I'm going to follow you.
Take a look at that.
All right. 312-332-3776. Shot or no shot. That is next.
Take that.
Take that.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood.
Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I say
shot, no shot, with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
hey, shot, no shot, brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Bet the ponies, bet sports, and download the PointsBet app. And stop by Hawthorne Racecourse. Takes 2 minutes and register your account. Danny, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Hoodrow.
Here we go.
Let's do it. The Chicago Bears had about 70 players in attendance yesterday for day one of the voluntary offseason program. That is a near perfect attendance for the offense. It qualifies as a good day at Halas Hall to have so many players in the building during such an uncertain offseason. Weeks ago, it was reported that the majority of the Bears players would not be present. Then yesterday, seven showed up. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, all these players showed up due to the power of Justin Fields.
Yeah, no shot. It's because the NFL has said, if you get injured working out outside the facility, we ain't liable for your contract. Like the guy, the offensive lineman of the Denver Broncos, who blew out his Achilles and they voided his deal. Good luck getting signed for a big deal when you're coming off a blown Achilles like 3 weeks ago. Yes, it's cool Justin's there. It's about protecting their paper.
And the power of Matt Nagy. Almost perfect attendance. You heard Nagy on with us. We'll hear him again coming up at 9:02. How pumped up is the team knowing that, yes, they do have Justin Fields, but it feels fresh, Danny. Feels new. Like that HDTV show I was watching last night. You know, you have this house and you want to be able to have a little reno, a little renovation.
A little Windy City rehab.
Reno. I mean, they just shorten all the words now. Renovation. Now, I can say that. It's easy.
Yeah, it is.
I don't need reno.
Flows off your tongue.
Renovation, right?
It's got to do with Twitter. You only have so many characters.
That's true. But just like, you know, when you get that, you say, you know what? I'm like the island in my kitchen. I just want to change the paint, change the window structure. That's what the Bears look like. With their draft, they've changed things. And now people are excited and rallying around the team. How about that?
How about that?
You think 70 players would have showed up in nearly perfect attendance on the offense if Andy Dalton was the quarterback?
Yes.
No shot.
No shot. Power of Justin Fields.
I truly believe if Danny was at quarterback, they would have showed up. They're protecting their money.
Well, I show up every day knowing that Danny's here.
Thank you.
There you go.
I appreciate that, Hoodie. Mm-hmm.
Quarterback.
You're a good man.
Quarterback.
The White Sox and the Astros are two of the winningest teams in baseball. They are also led by the two oldest managers in the game. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, one of these elder statesmen will win the World Series this season.
Shot. Talented teams, smart managers, shot.
Didn't know you felt that strongly about Dusty. Here's what I look at now is when we
I
look
love
at
Dusty.
Didn't know you had Dusty in the World Series. That's interesting.
That's a really good team.
I understand that.
Bunch of cheaters down there. Not him. He wasn't there for that. But
they're playing well.
They're a good team.
Mm-hmm. They're playing well. They're no White Sox, but they're playing well.
White Sox are good, man.
I'll say no shot only because I don't want to flip on my opinion. I told you, Danny, that I think that the Sox are a year away. So I won't say shot to that. I'll just say no shot. I can't wait till next season, though. If it happens this year, great. But I'm looking forward to next year for sure for the Sox team.
All right, gentlemen, Marv Albert is going to retire after calling the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. He's going to end a nearly 60-year broadcasting career. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Marv Albert is the greatest play-by-play man of all time.
In any sport or just hoop?
Greatest play-by-play man of all time.
No shot. No shot. I mean, there are some amazing. Vin Scully.
That'd probably be Keith Jackson.
Keith Jackson, Vin Scully, Doc Emrick goes on any list of the best guys out there. All the old baseball announcers
Al
that
Michaels,
are all gone. Al Michaels
there.
Has got to be in there.
You got to pick one. I'm asking for greatest play-by-play man of all time.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot.
I'll say no shot to that. But the names we mentioned, Danny, are pretty good. See, here's what I look at. Based on your question, I look at those that can be able to seamlessly do all the sports. So in my lifetime, Al Michaels was the voice of Monday Night Football, Monday Night Baseball. He has called hockey, the 80 Olympic team.
He had a year or two stretch where he was the lead voice for ABC, the NBA on ABC.
He did the NBA
before Mike Breen took over.
That's correct. So I would say those that can flourish in any sport and do it seamlessly, Al Michaels is in that conversation. Now, here's the thing about Vin Scully. If you dig deep enough, you'll find Scully doing football.
Harry Carey was an awesome football announcer. He loved doing football.
That's really cool. That's interesting. I like to hear that. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah.
That audio.
It's where he first met Elvis in Memphis doing a Memphis State game.
I love to hear that audio.
Yeah.
I know it's good. I just like to hear it though.
Yeah.
See, that's what I want to hear. Like, if you can do it, all those sports, like, you know, he's on the fast track for that. Now it's Tirico, right? He does hockey. He could do football. He could do basketball.
He did horse racing the
Olympics.
Other day. Yeah. Now he's the Olympics studio guy.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Someone that could do it all.
And Jack Buck had called the Final Four, the Indy 500, the Super Bowl. He was obviously the voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. He did NFL.
Major League Baseball on CBS.
Yeah.
The network stuff.
He said, all of it great. There's nothing like being the announcer of a local baseball team that's on a joyride to a title.
How about Joe Buck?
Joe Buck's right there, too.
He's awesome.
F*** you, Joe Buck.
And I'm on that fast track, Danny. It's going to be me soon. As soon as I figure out this hockey thing.
In my mind, you're right behind Marv Albert. Very close.
Hopefully, you got it.
Hopefully not that close. He bites.
Lions head.
Oh, wow.
Boy.
That's enough, JR. That's a good line.
That was a great line. Came out of the nowhere.
But I can hear
blindsided.
JR. I can hear JR with the moan in the back. Oh, no.
Coffee?
Maybe the moan was from the bite.
I heard the groan from JR. That's enough, JR.
Danny.
Gentlemen, Lions head coach Dan Campbell was a guest on the Pardon My Take podcast this week, and the coach shared one of his ideas for creating a livelier practice session. Have it listen.
I'll tell you what I would really love to do, just in general, and I've talked to Sheila about this. I don't think we're going to be able to do it, but I would love to literally just have a pet lion.
Yes.
Just a legit pet lion on a chain, a big-ass chain, and he really is my pet. We just walk around the building. We go out to practice. We're in 7-on-7. We're behind the kicker when he's kicking. We're just – there we are.
You know on the sidelines, yeah.
Yeah, you should – you know what you should do is you should get two of them and put them on each sideline and just teach the guys not to go out of bounds. Don't try to be – don't avoid contact.
And I – on command, you could train him. Like, if one of your groups isn't doing well, you could just take him over to their section and just have him take a dump right there in the middle of where their section is at, and then bring him on back. Yes. I mean, think about it. It'd be outstanding.
Gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, we can officially say Dan Campbell is the greatest coach in the NFL.
That guy. The late macho man is coaching the Lion. Yeah, brother.
What a personality on that guy. I mean, he makes Bill Belichick look just horrible, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's entertaining.
He's entertaining, but there's something to be said about the entertaining coach. Jeff, you know where I'm going with this, right? The entertaining coach never wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Here's looking at you.
What
like,
are you, Ditka?
No, it's different. I'm talking about the Jerry Glanville leaving the two tickets for Elvis and the Rex Ryans. The clowns don't win the championship.
Jimmy Johnson was entertaining.
No. He was about his business first.
Yeah, absolutely.
No. The clowns don't win the championship. Am I right about that, Cap?
You're right. It's all fun and games.
Give me an example to tell me I'm wrong. In the NFL.
Yeah, it works like in other sports. Like, yes. Joe Madden was that guy, very, you know, quirky and charismatic and fun, Ozzy. But in the NFL, I'd have to think.
And listen, it's all fun and games to listen to Dan Campbell in the off season prior to him ever having coached a game. You know, give you good sound bites for sure. But I don't know about you guys, but like ultimately, like what's he want, a Siegfried and Roy show on the sidelines here? Like, I don't see how that ends well. If you're a Lions fan,
I'm not going
to
go.
Bruce Arians is that fun guy that wears the Kangol, doesn't believe in practice, wants to drink Crown Royal instead of hang out at the film room.
Nah. Nah, not the same. Bruce Arians had a long history of the offense that he ran, where he was a no-nonsense guy. You know, he gets teamed up with Tom Brady, and he's painted as this guy who is all fun because he's the opposite of Bill Belichick. But Bruce Arians is very businesslike too.
Yes, I would say. Now I'm not gonna go after him, Cap. I mean, look, he wants to put his personality out there. I have no problem with that. I'm just saying, like, if I'm a Lions fan, I'm like, is my coach serious about winning? Right? I don't need him to win the soundbite. I need him to win the game. That's all. But I'm not bashing him. Like, this is who he is. Like, when I heard that the Lions hired Dan Campbell, I'm like, oh, that's great. Two more wins for the Bears.
But what do we always say? Be you. Be yourself. Sure. Don't conform because you feel like you have to.
Yeah.
Be the guy.
Someone in Twitch pointed out that Gruden won, and he's a clown. I'm sure Cap would agree with that.
He is a clown. But, yeah, he did win. No question about it.
He's about football, man.
Who was the coach in Denver when they – oh, that was Kubiak. He's as boring as they come.
Yeah, no.
Good coach.
Well, the Gruden thing, Gruden is a grinder. He's about football. He's just been made fun of.
And he became – yes, and he became more of a character once he got to the booth.
Pete Carroll?
Just a youthful old-timer. He's older than you. Stuck in the sideline. You
know John Harbaugh?
No, he's so...
He's not Jim.
Yeah, he's very straight-laced.
Who was the coach when the Giants... Was that Coughlin? That was Coughlin. He's not
well, that's
that
a character.
Guy. That's not a character.
No, these guys... the guys that are serious about the game, they're not putting themselves out there first... Those are the guys that you lean on for the most part in the NFL. That I can agree. See. But I agree with Jeff. Once Gruden's career was over as a coach initially, goes to the booth now, he's Chucky now, he's got the – because he leans into it. He does commercials leaning into it with the Chucky face and all that. So, I mean, nothing against Dan Campbell. It's fine. But just understand, like
– You better win.
I think the Bears have a better coach.
Correct. I like what we've got. Danny.
So all the time we got, my man. All right, that's what this means.
Adam Sandler plays pickup basketball. You got to hear this. Adam Sandler.
Danny.
Next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Cap, we've had a lot of stories lately about Adam Sandler, the Sandman.
The Sandman. He loves to hoop. And a lot of times, one of his requirements, Danny's showing us some video in here. First of all, what he wears, but a lot of his movies and shows he does.
Yeah.
In his contract, I was reading, they got to have a basketball court so they can hoop.
Yes, just get the energy off, get the stress off. That's kind of cool. I would just say, you know, doing this, playing basketball in a collared shirt is interesting because if you're going to play, it's either shirts, skins, but the shirt usually is a T-shirt and not a kind of a polo collared shirt.
Yeah, he's wearing like a peach-colored polo shirt.
Yeah.
With shorts that are like seven sizes too big on him.
All right, the shorts look is good because that's kind of like the basketball look.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that really is Riverwoods, what he's wearing on the top there. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, is that how you guys play basketball?
No.
With the collared shirt.
That's a no shot.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Danny, is that how they do it in the suburbs?
That is 100% how they do it in the suburbs. Absolutely. And are the big baggy shorts still in style?
No.
Like now you watch NBA players and they're wearing tight, short shorts. Like they're going way short.
They're anti the
Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, Michael Jordan baggy short look.
I'll also add, I think the polo is kind of a baggy polo as well.
Yes.
If you notice... The short sleeves on the polo extend past his elbows.
Well, as a big guy, let me just tell you that maybe Sandler doesn't have the greatest body, so you want to be able to cover up as much as possible. You don't want it to be skin tight on the belly. You want to have some loose, like this jacket is like maybe two sizes too big, but there's a reason for it. It's because I like it draping. I like it comfortable and loose.
A little blousy.
Yeah, I don't mind that from time to time on
my
clothes.
That's fine, and I think that makes fashion sense, Hoodie, mm-hmm. but you're also not going to hoop. Like, you need, don't you need a little bit of
Why not? Why can't he hoop?
No, would you hoop in that?
I would not, no.
If you want to dribble, don't you need your arms to be free so that, like, you don't want your sleeve, potentially, if you're, you know, crossover dribble, all of a sudden getting stopped up by the sleeve. That's all I think.
I just think it's kind of interesting, Danny. Like, so a guy pulls up and says, can I get in this game? And he wears the peach polo shirt. Are you letting him in?
With the baggy basketball shorts.
I personally think that he's a hustler. I go back to White Man Can't Jump, and I say to myself, all right, this guy right here looks like he has no game. He's probably going to be the best player on the court.
He's a ringer. He comes out there.
Can't dribble. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he rises up over three guys and jams it over the top of them.
Supposedly, Sandler's out there. That's like a court on Long Island. And supposedly, Sandler's out there every single day. That's how he gets his exercise, is he goes to that park and he plays pickup.
He looks smaller in that video. Is he a taller guy?
I don't think so. He's 5'9"? Probably 5'9", 5'10".
Looks little out there.
I bet you not even 5'10".
Like a little John Bagley out there. That's what he looked like.
Where did he go to college?
Don't know.
Boston.
He's 5'10".
Tom Waddle protege.
He's taller than I thought, though. The video makes him look a little smaller, right?
And he's never been known to be a sharp dresser. Like, he just puts on whatever probably is laying on the floor in the, you know, laying in the clean clothes hamper.
Like, what did he wear at the IHOP when he tried to get in for, you know, and didn't want to wait in the line for 30 minutes?
A pair of, like, funky Hawaiian shorts and a big baggy sweatshirt with the hood up over his head.
He's just a regular guy.
He is.
That's why he's the best.
I'll bet he's a really nice dude if you're sitting hanging out with him.
I still have to watch Uncut Gems.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it.
What are you waiting for?
Work. That's all.
That counts as work. It's sports gambling.
I promise to watch it this week. Unlike Cap, I'll actually watch it and let you know.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy on this show in 2 minutes.
Take that.